It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Now, if you are listening to us and you know for a fact that it's the 21st of December and that Christmas has not happened yet, then you should know that we are live and lines are open, 904-222-8255, and we would love to talk to you, if for no other reason, just to say Merry Christmas, but we also would love to know what's on your mind. Otherwise, we'll spend the whole time talking about what we want to talk about, which we're going to do for the first segment anyway, but that's another story coming up very soon. So if you're new to the show, just found out about it or happened upon it, try to listen to the whole thing. But do remember, if you're listening to us and you happen to know that Christmas is over and it's the 28th of December, it's because we're taking next week off because the employees at the station need a little holiday time like everybody else does. We will be back immediately after the first part of the year with a brand new show, same time, the whole thing with some minor modifications. But as I said, we're going to let Adam talk about that. So we'll get to the market wrap right after the first break. And we will, as always, of course, have a trivia question and do all the regular things at that point. But first off, Adam is going to describe a little bit about what's going on because things are changing.
Yeah, so we have some news. It's all good, all positive. We have been growing. We've been in business for 10 years now, and we have been growing like crazy.
Come February 1st, we'll have been on the radio for those 10 years.
Too. Yeah, that's right. Well, so we're coming up on our 10 years, exactly. But we're right there. Mm-hmm. And things have gone really, really well, thanks to everyone who listens to the show and our clients, who we are deeply in debt to and full of gratitude for. So we had to make some changes, though, because we've just gotten to a point where it's big enough that we are working really, really hard and struggling to keep up with everything that needs to be done. And so I looked at a lot of different options about where to go next. And I mean, everything that you can imagine was on the table, and tried to figure out the absolute best way to move forward as a company. And after doing over a year's worth of due diligence, I found a local planner who had his own business, who was 3 years into starting from zero clients and had done pretty well growing the business. And I approached him and said, hey, I'd like to make you an offer to come join the firm, bring your clients over, we'll merge, and then you'll be able to be a part of what we've grown over the last 10 years. And he thought about it for quite a while. We had many, many more discussions about it. And ultimately, he decided to join. And so I would like to welcome Joey Loss, CFP, to our company. And he will be officially joining on January 2nd as a partner in the firm. And we'll be providing the same services that we provide. He's bringing in his clients, but it also just gives us a ton more capacity to grow and service our existing clients in a better way than we have been. So I'm really excited about it. As part of that, now that there is a non-Van Wee partner in the firm, it just didn't make as much sense to be Van Wee Financial anymore, though. So we're also going to change the name of the firm. It proved very, very difficult to find a new name for the firm because so many names are already taken with wealth management firms. It's a big industry with a lot of participants, and so all the sort of easy ones had already been cherry picked. So we came up with the name Strivus Wealth Partners. It comes from the word strive, which means to achieve or obtain a goal over a long period of time with hard work. And we thought that was just really fitting for our business because that's exactly what we do. And so that is actually officially already happened, the name change, but really you'll start seeing more branded stuff coming out in January. And, but this radio show is going to keep the same name, the Van Wee Financial Hour, just because that's what we've always been known as. And it will largely be, my dad, Steve, and I, on the show on a weekly basis. Joey will be joining, including the first show after the new year when I am going to be out of town. It will be Steve and Joey.
Come on, admit it.
What's that?
You're going duck drinking.
I will be on my annual trip out to do a little bit of hunting in Arkansas. So, it actually gave a great opportunity for everyone to meet Joey.
He's been here before.
He has. He was here a couple months ago.
Yeah, if you're a very loyal listener, you will remember him.
Yeah, and he's going to be a real addition to the firm. He's got a great demeanor. He's good with clients. He also is a real expert on the planning side of the business. He goes above and beyond my knowledge and our collective knowledge together should create an even stronger firm.
His youth is actually working for him in this case, because financial planning software used to be, when I was first in the business, and even up to when Adam was first in the business, it was cumbersome, slow, hard to work with, and just generally not very good. That's all changed, and Joey's grown up with the new way of doing things mm-hmm. from a planning standpoint, and it's quite remarkable. I've seen some things that we put together that it's just it's the way we always thought it should be.
Definitely. And it worked out really well, because now we have a representative from the boomers, Gen X, and a millennial working at the firm. So Gen Z, you're next, I guess.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, so that's our news. If you have any questions or want to know more, feel free to call us.
Websites?
I presume? It's not up yet, but the new website will be StrivusWealth.com. But if you go to VanWeeFinancial.com, it will redirect you to the new webpage. So okay. You can still use the VanWee Financial domain.
You can still schedule through there and so on.
It'll have all the same functionality that our current website does.
All right. That's cool. So, again, I say if it's December 28th and you're listening, don't call us until the week after, because it'll be a replay of this particular show. But know that it is only the 21st, and we are here live and ready, willing, and able to talk to anybody who cares to talk. So bring it on, I say. All right, we've got about a minute to discuss the market, and then we'll come back and actually do a good recap of it. And actually, I would love to just not talk about it, but part of our job is to tell you everything that's going on. It was not a very fun week in our world.
No, it was pretty ugly, but it was saved a bit by Friday's trading. And it could have been a lot worse. Honestly, we've had a great year. It's still a great year, despite what happened this week. The NASDAQ's still up over 30% year-to-date. I mean, giving back a couple percentage is never fun, but... And
there's a funny little mathematical thing that happens too. We all look at a four-digit loss in the Dow and think, oh my God, this is catastrophe.
Right, but it's not.
But 1,000 points on a 8,000 market or 10,000 market is pretty substantial. On a 43,000 market, it just kind of bounces along
and
soon be erased.
It was down almost 1,000 points, and that was a 2.3% decline. Like I said, it could have been a lot worse.
Okay, more details right after the first break, so stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we do have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. So there's a question about how people invest and how they do, and I think you'll find it interesting. Who recalls 2023 being a good, bad, or indifferent year? Doesn't really matter. 22 was a bad year. 2023 wasn't nearly that bad. In fact, it was pretty darn good.
It was more than, in fact, the NASDAQ was up 43% in 2023. So, wow. Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, how much did the average American make by investing for the calendar year 2023, and it's a dollar amount?
All right.
Just like that. All right, back to the details of our little bloodbath this week in the market.
Yep, it was brought to you by the Fed, although I will say I'm not going to blame the Fed for this one. It really was, their fault, but it was not something that they could have avoided.
Not after what they'd said, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a thing that they could have said that would have avoided it. I think the market was looking for a reason to sell off. In fact, you said the same thing. Yeah. And the Fed just gave them one. It's been such a good year, and things had gotten pretty, I mean, if you look at the market and you look at forward PE ratios, it's in like the top 90th percentile of all readings. So things are lofty. I think that's a fair statement.
It's okay to be there, but you got to let profits catch up to the valuations.
Exactly. And so
if the business comes out of the old year and into the new year very strong, earning a lot of money, it won't matter at all.
No, but it usually takes a little while to catch up. So I think we had just gotten ahead of ourselves, and this was the inevitable reaction. It was just an absolutely brutal day on Wednesday. Interest rates were up. The market was in sell-off mode across pretty much every asset class. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin got hammered too. Crypto was not immune to this. And the mood just seemingly shifted to very negative, and it really wasn't caused by the quarter point rate cut itself. It was the statement that Powell made suggesting that rate cuts may not come as fast next year. But honestly, if you've been paying any attention this year at all, you would not be surprised by that statement. No. Because it's debatable whether we even needed this rate cut. Mm-hmm. The things are not ideal for cutting rates right now. You've got a softening employment situation. So jobs are harder to find than they were a year or two ago. And that is an argument for a rate cut. But at the same time, inflation is not trending down anymore. And you could make the argument that it's already bottomed and possibly trending up again. So that is an argument for a rate hike. So it's not a clear-cut deal that we should continue this path of rate cuts throughout 2025.
And as we have said so many times, the Fed meets on a six-week cycle. Well, if you make a policy change today, in 6 weeks, you don't have a clue what it did, if anything, or by how much.
Agreed.
Six weeks is nothing in the scheme of monetary policy, fiscal policy. And they got to do better. There should be, if they want to meet six times, fine. They should not be able to adjust the rates that often unless there's an emergency.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that we do need to let this monetary policy sort of filter through the economy and see what it looks like in maybe second quarter of next year, and then make another decision about it, because it really is too soon to even think about it in the first quarter. Plus, there's just a lot of change happening right now. We've got a new administration coming in with a 180-degree different view from the last one. And that is also going to take a lot of time to filter. Any policy changes that they are able to make in the first 100 days, we may not see until 2026. Yeah, and so, exactly. Yeah, there's just a lot going on. I do think a pause is probably – no, I definitely think a pause is warranted at this point.
Yeah, take a breather, people. Just, you don't have to hit everything perfectly, and that's good, because you can't. Fundamentally, you can't hit everything perfectly.
No, you cannot.
We don't know if the first cuts are worth anything yet. It's just too soon, and that's the part that bothers me. Is the market is full of a bunch of whiners that have to have some action every day, or or you get a Wednesday.
Well, it is the right now generation. Really, everything has to happen immediately. There's no delayed gratification, and the market is no different. Yep. But with all that being said, our record stands intact, because we always say that surrounding a Fed meeting, there's one big down day and one big up day. And we had the big down day, obviously, on Wednesday. I wasn't sure we were going to see the big up day, because Thursday looked like a bounce back day. And then we gave it all up towards the end of the day. And it actually,
two to four, right?
It all just fell apart. And two of the indexes ended up negative. I think the Dow was actually positive.
14 points.
Just barely.
Which is good, because it snapped that losing streak that was the longest since 1974.
But then Friday morning, I woke up and the futures were way down again. Mm-hmm. And it just got worse towards the open. And it was, maybe a half hour before the open. And then we got some positive news on the inflation front. And futures started creeping up. Still open negative. Dow was down pretty big Friday morning. And then things just kind of turned around. And by about noon, the Dow was up more than 700 points. And we didn't close quite that high, but it was a really good day.
After Wednesday, I was happy with the 500.
Yeah, it clawed back a lot of what was lost on Wednesday. Not anywhere near all of it, but definitely made a big dent in the amount that we were down on Wednesday. So I was happy to see that. It was a good and our streak of predicting the big down day, big up day around the Fed meeting, it remains intact.
Yeah, it's almost like they gave us a gift of being right. And if that's true, I don't want any more gifts from them.
Well, Friday gifts are good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But you know, the whole thing was also being couched with the overlay of a, quote, government shutdown, which is the biggest non-event in history that is hyped by every major media outlet ever, overhyped, until you think, my God, it's got to be the most important thing in the world. No wonder the market's tanking, on and on and on. And you know damn well the first rule, I told Sarah this yesterday, I think it was, said the one thing you absolutely positively know for sure, they do not want to be in D.C. on Christmas week.
That's right.
They'll wait till the last second or 37 minutes plus or minus thereof, and then they'll pass something, and then their planes will pick them up, and off they go.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Well, they pat themselves on the back, by the way.
Job well done, guys. Yeah, really good.
Oh, yeah, good job. there was no surprise in this whole thing.
No, and honestly, I have my doubts about how much that actually affects the market. The media will tell you it does, but I suspect that it really doesn't. I don't think the market cares at all.
They all know what we all know.
That it's meaningless.
Yeah, and even when it happened, there have been
several.
I heard it from Newt. I can't remember, 34 shutdowns or something.
Yeah, like it's happened many times.
Yeah,
when all of us were alive. And do you even remember the last? I don't remember the last time it happened because it was such a non-event.
And there were no scheduled paydays for federal employees the remainder of this year, so they weren't even going to miss a paycheck.
Yeah, which they always get back, by the way, just a little later.
In fact, it would have been fantastic to have that, and then when you get your back pay, you get it in January, and you push all those taxes forward.
And you pay off all that debt from Christmas, too.
Yeah, exactly. There's still people, lots of people, I'm not talking one or two, lots of people are still paying off last Christmas debts.
Yes, for sure.
This is America, and I got some good news on that'll bring up in the second half of the show, too. So there's hope.
Yep.
In fact, if you look at what's going on right now, in the pre-election buildup, it was starting. But when the results came in, there is a lot going on out there that's a lot more positive than it was a year ago now, for sure. People's attitudes are good.
Yeah.
Did you saw the GDP final revision?
I did. I have a little piece on that.
Good.
Carry on. Yeah, it's I'll start with that then, since you brought it up. Wages and spending have been up, but so was the GDP. The Q3 was revised higher to 3.1% from the initial 2.8%, which is a pretty big jump.
That is a good size jump.
It's the largest positive increases. They came from consumer spending and government purchases, which coincides with what came out in the PCE report, which I'll talk about in a minute. And that's more fuel to keep the Fed to keep interest rates higher, because a hot economy can fuel inflation. So this is just another argument to not drop rates next year.
Right. And there's another little offset that goes into that formula, too, with the 2%. A productivity increase, whatever the productivity increase is, that is non-inflationary wage hikes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get 2% more money and you're 2% more productive, price levels stay the same. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and we did see some more interesting data in the PCE inflation report. That's the Fed's preferred report, the one they like to look at the most. It showed a modest 0.1% uptick in inflation month over month. That corresponded with a 2.4% level for year over year. Not bad, but also not 2%. Really, but not bad. The core PCE, which strips out food and energy prices because they're very volatile, that's at 2.8% year over year. So much, much higher and less attractive than the regular PCE. Personal income rose 0.3% in November, which was just under the forecast. Year over year, that's up 5.3%. That's a really solid number.
Finally.
Government pay, though, is up 6.4%, which is one of the largest increases in decades. So
that's special.
Yeah. So we're just more more debt we're accruing in terms of paying government employees more. Not great news there.
No, but it couldn't be perfect because the economic theories that go into the market we have right now and the economy we have right now are flawed. They're fundamentally flawed. Modern monetary policy, MMP, does not work.
It has never worked. It will never work. It's a garbage theory, and I can't stand it.
I got another thing I think you'll like, too. It's what various countries around the world are doing, and the results for same is quite interesting. All right, we've got to take a short break. We'll be right back. The lines will be open, and we can get going. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to remind everyone again that if you're listening and you know it to be December 21st, we are live and we're about to hit the phones. They are open, 904-222-8255. And if you're listening and you know something's off because it's actually December 28th when you're listening, we're playing this show again next week, and we will see you live again on the first Saturday after the beginning of the year. And I remind everybody that the trivia question is still out there. How much money did the average American make by investing in the year 2023? And it's a whole number of dollars. Meanwhile, good morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful. And you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. And since you're not going to be on, or you're going to be rebroadcasting this week, next Saturday,
yep,
I have a New Year's resolution wish.
Good. Bring it on.
Yeah. And that's for our government to act physically responsible in the new year. You could go into a coma all year and wake up the last week of the year, and there would be a financial crisis looming in this country.
So true.
As far as funding the government for the next year.
Well, maybe the Doge boys will get their way at least partly, huh?
What did you say?
The Doge boys? That's what they're being called.
Yes, I hope
now.
The Doge boys are successful because we can't keep doing what we're doing. You know, being physically responsible as consumers, if we overspend, sooner or later the credit card companies cut you off and, you know, you go down in the toilet.
No mercy.
So, you know, our government just prints the money and hopes that for the best. So
you could try that too, but you might get a knock on the door from the Treasury Department. Police.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
the closest we get to that is crypto.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's my New Year's wish for, you know, since we're not taking those this week. But
I sincerely hope it's granted.
Yes. Yes.
Very common sense.
I'll take a swag at your number for 2023, right?
Sure.
76,812.
76,812. All right, you're too high.
Okay.
Average investor did not do that well.
Huh? Oh, the average investor. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't mean you.
but if you did that well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And just because we're in such a good mood because it's almost Christmas, I'll even go so far as to say that's quite a bit too high.
Yeah, it's substantially high.
So
okay.
You helped everybody. You got a bracket now.
Yeah, you can quarter that probably.
Well, somebody will in the next call. You never know.
I'll listen on. You guys have a great holiday season.
Merry Christmas, you too, Bob. Happy New Year, and we'll see you soon. Hard to believe we're saying that, isn't it?
This year, I say it every year, but it's just every year you get older, it just flies by faster.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
No, I know, and I'm not looking forward to it.
In your case, though, it's going to get real scary because kids approaching college age, and you know, you think ahead when they're young, and you think, well, I know it'll happen sometime, but it's not even worth thinking about.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, it's desperation time. We're into the second half of their last final year before they actually have to choose one.
We're going to look at colleges over spring break, so it's here.
There you go.
Yep.
It was scary.
Yeah, for sure.
Very scary. All right. Any more little wrap-ups you want to put some tuck pointing on the market?
No, take it away.
All right, where to begin? Man, we got a lot of stuff today. That's the truth. Let's start bad and work up.
Okay. Here's, wait, up as in getting better or getting worse?
Yeah, less bad or
okay.
something like that. There are a couple of things that are really, really bad out there that we need to figure out. And one of them is that China is on its high horse again. They're banning exports of some of the minerals, rare earths, things like that, that are absolutely imperative for our production of little things like electronics and arms for the military and that sort of thing.
Well, you know, I blame us for that. Well,
you should.
Yeah. We banned the mining of all those products in the U.S., so that makes us wholly dependent on China for those products and gives them unlimited leverage over us.
Yeah.
And so who really caused that situation?
Back in the 90s, California has the most known rare earths, or had at least until a couple more discoveries, one of which I'll talk about here. But California had all that stuff, and one by one in the 90s, they shut the mines down.
Mm-hmm.
And I reported on this show probably 8 years ago that China was starting a project that they were going to form what was basically a cartel of rare earth producers. So they were going to pretty much just control the universe. Well, meanwhile, there is a place in Idaho called the Stibnite Gold Mine. It's in Valley County, Idaho. It has a gigantic amount, quantity, type, everything, of those rare earths and so on that we need so badly. So they started in 2010. They started their initial study, engineering and community engagement, and started applying for permits and so on. It is now 2024. They do not have them yet. 14 years they have spent fighting the government to open this mine to be producing the things that China is cutting off of that are absolutely critical to us. Do I blame China for that? No, I do not. I absolutely do not. The biggest one there that we really, really need is antimony. Who knew? You know, I remember because of Tom Lehrer's song about the periodic chart of elements, but only because of that. But it's a very big deal in our production, and it is sitting right there in Idaho, ready to be dug out of the ground, and we're waiting 14 years. So one of the things that Trump has already announced with the Doge boys and others is they're going to streamline the processing of permits for things like that. And if you just streamline it a little bit, it's not going to do any good. It's basically got to come down to, we got to do this. Maybe it takes a year, maybe it takes a year and a half, but that's it. If you're going to shut it down in that time, do it by that time, but don't keep us dangling for 14 years. Well, the only piece of potential good news in here is that they're pretty sure they get the last hurdle crossed in 2025. Unless somebody makes up something else bad, and I don't think they will since the election went that way. But it's a given out there among certain circles that Republicans hate the environment. They don't want clean air. They don't want clean water. Absolutely nothing could be further from the truth. You go back to Teddy Roosevelt and you find out that we started the whole thing. We were the conservationists, that's easy for me to say, and it's been turned on us, I guess. It's not true. We got to get over this thing. We got to get places like that running. We saw it. If you need graphic evidence, just go back to COVID. During COVID, there were shortages of medicines because they're all made in China.
Yeah.
Can't let people control.
Semiconductors, no different.
No. It's unbelievable. Of course, a lot of it, I'm going to get in trouble for this one probably. I blame the lawyers. At least the ones who run for office. Because they're okay. The ones that keep this stuff. So you're unable to manufacture medicines in the contiguous 48, at least. I remember a few years ago, Johnson & Johnson had a claim by a disgruntled employee about conditions in a Puerto Rican factory that made some kind of medicine or whatever, and their stock dropped. It dropped the value of most companies overnight when this thing was done. It was, of course, completely untrue and later proven like that. We can't let things like this keep happening. We've got to bring that production here, and we've got to protect the companies that are doing it unless they can prove actual serious negligence, which I don't think is ever going to happen. Anyway, that just a couple of things that caught my eye from this particular week. Now let's switch over to a good one. What would you think the number one priority, financial priority for Americans is in 25?
The number one financial priority in 2025? Pay off debt?
I'm shocked that you got that right.
Why?
Because it's not the way Americans do things.
No, but it's their
prior to lately.
Well, you ask what they think it is, and I would bet that's the same answer every year. Do they actually it? No.
Yeah, you might actually have a point there, too. But yes, they're nearly 9 and in 10 Americans report facing obstacles that could hinder their ability to achieve it.
Yeah, and I think that's actually true, on top of making a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think there's two things that are going to hold us back on this. Number one is the price level.
Mm-hmm. Of everything.
Yes. Just because your rate of inflation drops by 65%, as they like to say, it just means that prices are still higher next month than they were this month.
Yeah.
And that's not going to change. If you can't afford everything you need, you can't save money. We've got to get the price level, where possible, down. And as we've all been talking lately, that definitely starts with the energy market. And we'll see how it goes. But I'm glad to see people so aware that this is what needs doing in their own situation. It gives me some confidence that perhaps we'll at least make a good stab at it. So just a little piece of good news in a sea of other stuff. Then there's some really dumb news that I'll handle, but I'll handle it right after the break because we don't have enough time to cover it. So we'll pay some bills, take one last break, be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And we are going back to the phones, but first I want to remind people that the trivia question is still open. How much money did the average American make by investing in the year 2023? And we know it's way less than $76,000. Meanwhile, good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Happy holidays.
No problem.
I have two questions, but the first question is, a recipient of a traditional IRA due to a divorce, are the funds considered as a distribution from a traditional IRA?
Was it due to a quadro, a qualified domestic relations order?
It was a transfer instance due to a divorce.
Yeah, that's typically that is is not a distribution.
Right.
It is just a splitting of an IRA into two different IRAs. One stays with the original owner, and then the new one goes in the name of the spouse who is no longer married to the previous owner of that IRA.
You can have as many IRAs as you want. You just got to make sure that you don't trigger a taxable event, which you didn't.
Okay, so it's not considered as a distribution.
If it was from the, what was it? What is the
qualified domestic relations order?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I think the answer is just to the other part of it. So then the recipient of the funds will have to submit the form 8606 due to this.
Probably. It proves that it went into a qualified account.
Right, right. Okay. And then the next question, it's separate from the first question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If someone transfers in kind from a qualified pension to a traditional IRA, is it considered as income?
No. Real simple. If it's done directly, either trustee to trustee, or if the pension writes a check to the custodian in the name of the recipient, no, then it's a completely tax-free event.
Okay. Thank you. And then a form, is a form, same question.
You get there'll be a 1099 produced, and then maybe a 5498 also on the other end, which does not have to be filed with your taxes, but you got to have it in your file.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's just, it's a 1099, and you, when you get the 1099, you claim that it went to a qualified account 100%, and then if you're ever questioned on it, you got a backup piece of paper.
The biggest thing with these types of moves is to keep all your documentation and just be able to prove to the IRS if they question it, which they most likely won't, but if they do, you want to just be able to prove what happened.
Yeah, and minimum of 8 years, you want to keep that stuff. I think it's better to keep it forever, at least digitized, but you want to make sure they can't look back and catch you at some future time and cause you a lot of pain and suffering financially.
So also in respect to that question, is a form 8606 required also, like, to submit?
I'm trying to
remember. When you do transit income.
I've been looking at all of those. What's the name of that one?
The 8606 is a non-deductible contribution you made to a traditional IRA.
Then you won't need it. Yeah, you won't need it unless you put money in that you're not able to deduct.
Yeah, so I don't think that those that would qualify.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, the 5498 is the biggie, and the 1099 is going to happen, period.
Okay. All right. And can I ask one last question?
Of course. It's Christmas. Okay, ask away.
How do you determine or what exact, well, I didn't get to research this a little bit, so how do you determine, like, the basis or the cost basis of an IRA?
Doesn't matter.
Not in an IRA, but there are a lot of times when it does matter.
Just not in a traditional taxable IRA, because it's taxed. Every penny that comes out of there is taxed for the rest of your life.
It's taxed as income to you in the year that you take it out.
No capital gains possibilities or anything like that.
Right. So basis only becomes important if you're looking at capital gains taxes, which would happen outside of an IRA, like in a brokerage account.
Right, because I was reading specifically under the form of 8606, and then they're talking about the basis of the IRA, because some...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yep.
Because...
Go ahead.
So when you're looking at 8606, it has to do with a non-deductible contribution to an IRA. So that's a totally different set of rules than your traditional IRAs, which are normally funded with deductible contributions. So if you have a situation where you've made non-deductible contributions to an IRA, then your basis does become important.
Right. And that's, I guess there's a formula, a software would be able to determine, the basis.
Well, your basis would generally be whatever contributions were made to that IRA that were not deducted over time. So if you for 5 years in a row, if you contributed $5,000 to a non-deductible IRA, your basis would be $25,000.
Yeah, and that comes into play whenever you take money out. You take it out on a pro rata basis. So if you had a $100,000 IRA with a $25,000 basis, every dollar you took out would be 75 cents taxable and 25 cents not taxable.
Right. So it's complicated, is really what it comes down to. I know it's confusing. That's why non-deductible IRA contributions are somewhat rare. They do happen, but it's not the norm, and it's not the preferred way to make contributions to an IRA, but sometimes it's all you have, so people do it. But it's very tricky, and the record keeping for it is even trickier, and most people don't do a very good job of it, unfortunately.
Yeah. We advise our clients whenever get in a situation like that to have two IRAs, one for the basis part and one for the taxable part. It makes life so much easier whenever you take money out.
When you have contributions into an IRA that are mixed between deductible and non-deductible, it's nightmare.
It's tough. It's really tough.
Right. Yes. Had we known this when we were, 30, 40 years ago.
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah.
What generally happens when you find out too late about these things is all your basis gets lost in the shuffle and you wind up paying 100% taxes on your withdrawals.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but there's really not much you can do about it without going back and reconstructing everything that's happened in your IRA over the years, which most people can't do accurately anyway.
I actually had that happen to me 25 years ago or so. I had a little bit of basis in it, and when I moved to Florida and rolled everything over, it got just basically lost in the shuffle. So I wound up, it wasn't a big amount of money to say the least, but it was still irritating. Mm-hmm. I hate paying taxes on anything that's already been taxed.
For sure.
Right. Okay. Yes. Thank you so much for your time.
Our pleasure.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye. All right. 2022 was a horrible year and shouldn't be talked about. unless it's absolutely necessary. 2023 was a fantastic bounce back year. Everybody made money. Oh, wait, that's not true. The average American investor lost $1,500 in 2023. That almost requires work.
I honestly don't know how that's possible.
I don't either. But the reason I bring it up is because 49% of Americans admit to taking their financial advice from family and friends. You are taking advice from people for free, and every other one of those people, at least, lost money in 2023. They should pay you to listen to them. It is just so ridiculous. You know, the age-old question, can I afford a financial advisor? Let's revamp that for the year 2025. Can I afford not to have a financial advisor?
It's so true. I there's plenty of studies that have been done. You can Google it. Vanguard has a really, really good one that shows the financial results of working with a financial planner. And most of those studies will show you it's 2 to 3% every year over your lifetime that you will improve your outcome by hiring a financial advisor like us.
Yep. So, whatever your result was in 2023, you might want to rethink your situation going into 2025. And, people like us are really easy to get a hold of. Everybody gets an hour consultation for the asking. There's nothing complicated about it. I don't think there's ever been anybody that walked out of our office without having learned something.
I hope not. That's our goal.
Right. And tell you, it feels really good when you run into people on the street and been on radio for years and all that, and people will recognize the voice or something and say, oh, I've been listening for years, or a new caller will call. I've been listening to you guys for years. Thanks for all that you've done and all you do. Nothing makes us feel better than that.